This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. My guests this morning are David Bobanek, Executive Director, and Benjamin Rasmus, Harvest Against Hunger Program Director for Rotary First Harvest. David Bobanek and Benjamin Rasmus are here today to tell us about the work of Rotary First Harvest, a nonprofit that works with farmers, truckers, volunteers, and others to bring valuable skills and resources into hunger relief efforts in communities across Washington State. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
Would you begin by saying a few words about Rotary First Harvest, including your history?
Sure, and this is David. Our history started in 1982, and it really started with one individual who wanted to try to get more produce into the food banks that were serving people in need across Seattle, Washington. And he was not associated with food banks. He was a banker, and he just had an idea that he wanted to help people in need. However, he was a Rotarian. And that's where the roots of the organization really start, are within the Rotary Club at the University of Washington, that area. And they started to do some outreach to the community, ask people to plant an extra row using the old World War II Victory Garden model. Plant an extra row in your garden. We, the Rotarians, will come together, help to gather that produce, and then help to deliver it to church basements, soup kitchens, and food banks that were, at the time, fairly spread out across Seattle. And after that first year of developing the program, they realized that there was an opportunity to work with larger commercial growers across Washington State. And Norm Hillis was a gentleman who got the program started, recruited a gentleman named Mike Shanahan. Mike was the chief of police at the University of Washington. He was a fellow member of the Rotary Club of the University District. And Mike took it upon himself to put out an APB, which is an all-points bulletin, to all law enforcement across Washington State. And, you know, typically, with an APB, that's used very specifically to catch bad guys, right? And so Mike put out this very unusual one, asking for law enforcement officers around Washington State to look in their local community to see if there was any produce that was going unused. And within a couple of days, Mike got a call back from the sheriff in Othello, Washington, saying, "Hey, Mike, we've got 30,000 pounds of onions. Come and get them." You know, so suddenly they realized that, one, their idea could potentially grow into something much larger than they had originally anticipated, and two, they needed to figure out how they were going to get those 30,000 pounds of onions from Othello to Seattle. And so that's where they started to work back through the Rotary community to find out who had contacts that could help them to bring those onions over. So they had identified one part of this three-legged stool that we use, which is the resource of the food and the farmer. The second part of that, and equally important, is the transportation side. And so they reached out and found Lakeside Industries had a truck that was over in that area, was able to haul those onions back and deliver them to what was Ecumenical Metropolitan Ministries, Northwest Harvest. Today is now just Northwest Harvest. And they unloaded the onions. They got a bunch of Rotarians from around the area to unload the onions and distribute them out to the food banks. And so that's the history of the organization. That's really what started us down the path of our core work, which continues to be finding truckload-sized donations of produce and then identifying a trucking partner who may have a truck coming back empty, who will be able to pick up the product and deliver it to one of the food bank distribution warehouses that we work with. And that includes folks here in the Seattle area, like Northwest Harvest, Food Lifeline, Emergency Food Network, which is down in Tacoma and works across the peninsula. And so that model that they started with that very first load is still one that we use today.
To what extent is hunger a problem in Washington State?
It's a big problem in Washington State. We're typically ranked within the top 10 of hungriest states where the food need is the greatest in the United States. Hunger has been a problem that has changed over the past couple of years. What is happening now with need at food banks and meal programs is that rather than seeing 15-20% increases in the number of people coming into the food banks, we're starting to see that number sort of level out, but the people who are coming to food banks need more assistance, need more help. So instead of coming maybe once a week, they need to come twice a week, some places even three times a week. And hunger looks different in different parts of Washington State, the reasons that bring people into food banks. Here in the Seattle area, it's an expensive city to live in, so the cost of living is very high. Our unemployment rate is fairly low relative to the rest of the state. So what we're seeing at food banks across the Seattle area is a lot of people who may be working full time and making minimum wage. They may be working a couple of jobs, but they're just not able to make ends meet. And that certainly is true for a lot of young families in our area. And also it brings a lot of seniors into food banks. And so, you know, the reason that it's really critical to us to continue to do our work is that we focus exclusively on getting produce into the food banks. And having a supply of produce for food bank recipients helps them to stay healthy, helps them to stay active. For seniors, it helps them to stay somewhat independent. Now, once you get outside the Seattle area, Washington State, and for listeners who aren't familiar with the area, Washington State has some pretty vast rural areas in it. And in those areas, it's not necessarily the cost of living. It is that there just aren't the jobs that are available. And so unemployment is much higher in rural parts of Washington State. So the people that are coming into the food banks, they're maybe looking for work, but there just aren't enough jobs for everybody that needs them.
What resources are available for those who are hungry in Washington State?
Well, it starts with basic food program. And that's Washington State's, it's the old food stamp program. Basic food provides a significant amount of support to people in need. And unfortunately, what we're starting to see now is some pretty dramatic cuts with the budget that was just agreed to. There are some significant cuts to the federal food stamp program, SNAP is what it's called. But that is then going to trickle down to Washington State. So there will be significant decreases in the amount of benefits that those families are able to receive and to use. So that's really the first resource, and that's really the first line of defense, because that allows people to be able to continue to live a pretty independent life. They can go to their local grocery store, they can go to a local farmer's market, they can pick up food just as anybody else does and simply use their card to pay for some of the food. Another line of defense is the food banks, so sit-down meal programs, food pantries, food banks across Washington State. And there are somewhere in the neighborhood of 500 across Washington State that are providing food for those in need. Those are really the two primary. So the Emergency Food Benefits Program and food stamps. There's also a number of ancillary programs within Washington State, which is WIC, Women, Infant, Children. There's funding, and it's very much like a basic food program where they are provided with some funding that allows them to go to their local grocery store and get those items that help young families with young children to get by.
I'm Diane Horn, and my guests are David Bobanek, Executive Director, and Benjamin Rasmus, Harvest Against Hunger Program Director for Rotary First Harvest. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on listener-powered KEXP 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. What led you to start your Harvest Against Hunger program?
I actually am not the one who started the Harvest Against Hunger program. It's been something that's going on. We're now entering about our fifth full year of Harvest Against Hunger. And what Harvest Against Hunger essentially is a smaller kind of mini version of Rotary First Harvest. Oftentimes we refer to it as a program incubator. And essentially how it started was looking at all the growers in Washington State, which are just thousands of, I think somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 or 30,000 growers in the state. And traditionally, Rotary First Harvest, the core work, which David's talked about and mentioned, was only working with a small portion of it because they have to have the warehouses and the trucks and just the logistics to handle 40 to 60,000 full semi-trailer loads of produce. In working with that size of donation, there's hundreds of other great growers who have extra produce that they want to get out to people in need or not see go to waste and rot in their field, but there's no means or very limited means to do that. And so Harvest Against Hunger was a very mindful effort to start a system to capture this food. And we do that essentially by partnering with AmeriCorps Vista, federally funded program, and we place AmeriCorps Vista members across Washington State to start a gleaning program and gleanings, collecting unharvested fruits and vegetables for people in need, essentially. Over the last 5 years, we probably had about 15, maybe even 20 different host sites in Washington State that have started a gleaning program from scratch or have kind of brought the pieces together of gleaning program in their community that was already operating. And it, through this tremendous effort, an AmeriCorps VISTA member goes into a community. Traditionally, we place them at a food bank, a county-level food bank, where they have the capacity to draw in volunteers. And so they do a lot of volunteer recruitment because we need volunteers to go down to the field and collect the unharvested produce. And then they also work with the growers because we need to kind of sell the growers on having volunteers going out onto their field. We found it works a lot smoother if AmeriCorps VISTA members, they're placed at the food bank because the logistics of a food bank can be kind of complicated. And so if they're placed in-house at a food bank, then they can bring the food there and get it out to people in need. And that's a model that we've used for the last 5 years. And it's a model that we feel like it's starting to gain traction and continue. And we by no means are not the only organization that's doing gleaning. Gleaning is an ancient program. It's been around since biblical times. But we're just one organization in Washington State that's doing it in one model.
Which geographical areas do you serve? You mentioned there were 20 different locations, but what are a few of those locations?
Yeah, definitely. So we try to have an even balance because Washington State, like David was mentioning, is a very diverse state. So there's rural, there's urban, there's suburban, and we try to be in all locations. We're starting to partner with an organization this year in Seattle called City Fruit, and they do backyard fruit tree harvesting, which is a fantastic organization. We've also partnered with Lettuce Link through Solid Ground in the past here in Seattle. And then kind of moving a bit outside of the Seattle area, we work with farms in Carnation, the Snoqualmie Valley. Going further north in the Mount Vernon area, we've partnered with the Bellingham Food Bank. Going south, we've worked with Tacoma, Olympia, Vancouver, Washington. And then in eastern Washington, kind of the breadbasket of the state, we partner with a whole bunch of different organizations in Yakima, Okanagan, Wenatchee, Spokane, the Tri-Cities, Walla Walla. So pretty much north, south, east, west, we've covered it. And then one other thing that's really exciting this year, we're starting to dabble in becoming a broader West Coast program. And we're partnering with a site in Los Angeles called Food Forward that does really great work with gleaning primarily citrus and also going to farmers markets around the Los Angeles area and going to the farmers markets at the end of the day, capturing that produce and bringing it to local food banks and meal programs. And we have two AmeriCorps VISTA members placed there this year, which is a fun new partnership for us.
Would you say more about how you go about finding farmers to participate in your program?
I think it's a little different for the Rotary First Harvest core work and for Harvest Against Hunger. And for our core work, we work back through our existing network of growers and farmers. And so a lot of that is word of mouth. A lot of it is going and visiting with a grower, seeing who their neighbor might be who would also be interested in donating. Farmers are very social within their group. And so that's also how we work to find trucking donors, other resources. So for our core work, we tend to stay within the industry and use leads and contacts within the industry. What's really interesting and the reason that we started the Harvest Against Hunger program is because we realized that, as Benjamin mentioned, there is a huge number of growers in Washington State that we weren't able to touch using our conventional core model. And the way to reach out to growers is to do it through those communities. So if you can imagine trying to coordinate relationships with 20,000 growers from our small Seattle area office, it's just not manageable. Oftentimes these growers will have donations of maybe 200 pounds, 300 pounds, 500 pounds of fresh lettuce or some other fresh product that needs to get out into a food bank within an afternoon or within a couple of days. Placing a resource in the community to manage those relationships makes a lot more sense than trying to do it from one central office. So we decentralized it, and that's what I think has been one of kind of the pieces of magic that makes the Harvest Against Hunger program work, is that rather than say, here's the Rotary First Harvest model, make it work in your community, whether it's Moses Lake or Vancouver, Washington. It's, here's this amazing VISTA resource. You know your community. apply this resource as a full-time staff person to help you build a program that matches what your community's attributes and needs are. And so the way that those different programs are reaching out to the growers varies slightly based on whatever the attributes are in the community. So in some places it could be backyard growers, and you reach out to backyard growers in a very different way than you do established orchardists, say in Eastern Washington. And so there are myriad ways that we have found work effectively to engage and connect with growers. But universally, growers want to help. The last thing any farmer wants to see is some of their product go to waste, because they've worked throughout the season to get that product in. So a big part of the work that we do and a big part of the work that the Vista do is really finding the best way for that grower to share. Once you've figured that model out, then you can apply it to other similar sized growers in the area or the community.
You are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn, and my guests are David Bobanek, Executive Director, and Benjamin Rasmus, Harvest Against Hunger Program Director for Rotary First Harvest. How is the food that you glean different from food that is sold by farmers?
So from a nutritional standpoint, it's exactly the same. It's healthy, it's edible. Really the only difference is the cosmetic features of the product. Sometimes it's been in the field a little bit longer. This summer I was on a few broccoli gleans, and you'll go out into the field and you'll see this broccoli, and it just might be a bit more discolored than some of the broccoli you'd see at a farmer's market or at a grocery store, or maybe just starting to wilt just a tiny bit, or even the size of the broccoli heads themselves are too big or a little smaller. So it's just, you know, how American consumers are today. We want to have that perfect, ideal, you know, broccoli head, apple, carrot, whatever it might be. And consumers have grown used to that. And so the farmers need to fill that need as well. So if they don't have product that falls into that perfect little box, sometimes they have a hard time selling it, but it's still healthy. It's still it's a high nutritional content. And so that's a product that we're interested in and oftentimes glean. But other product that we have access to is not always cosmetically blemished. Sometimes they just have an oversupply of it. Sometimes it's beautiful stuff you might see at, you know, one of the great farmers markets in Seattle, but they just can't find a home for it. And so we see it all.
Benjamin, would you tell us about your experience bicycling around Washington State to visit food gleaning sites?
Yeah, definitely. It actually kind of started out as a bit of a joke. I'm an avid cyclist, and part of my job with Rotary First Harvest is checking in on our great AmeriCorps Vista program sites around the state. And I was kind of looking at a map, and it was summertime. I was like, oh, I really don't want to spend a week in a car visiting all these sites. What if I, just mentioning it in the office, what if I started to bike instead? And Katie Baim, our admin director, she looked at me and was like, you should do that. You should totally do that. And from there, we did a little fundraising for it. We got some people on board and then talked with our gleaning sites around the state. And I ended up visiting about 8 different sites and tried to have a gleaning or a harvesting or gardening event in each location. And in a few instances, we got some local media out to highlight the gleaning that was happening and just kind of promote our program and the broader issue of hunger as well. And ran into a few adventures along the way on my bicycle too. So it was really a fun time, and maybe a West Coast or a cross-country trip could be another way to highlight the gleaning and all the great produce recovery work that's happening.
What have been some of the key challenges in implementing your program?
There are a number of different challenges, and I think that inherent in any of the work that we do, the challenge when a grower has product that's available, it needs to get somewhere else. The grower wants to have it moved. And so timing is always one of our challenges with trying to get product moved as quickly as possible. And then since we deal exclusively with produce, there's perishability. And so we have to make sure that we have reliable transportation. We have to make sure that we've got a warehouse that can then move that product very quickly out into the food bank so it gets into the hands of the people in need as quickly as possible and in as good a shape as we possibly can. There are some similarities, but it feels like every time there's an issue, it's slightly different than it was the time before that. So there's constant learning, tweaking, trying to figure out the best way to get produce as quickly as you can into the hands of those who need it. One of the things that we are always cognizant of is that when we start to talk about the truckloads of potatoes or the work that the Vista are doing, we don't ever want to lose sight of the fact that the people, the individuals that are coming into the food banks and getting that product, that's really the critical part of our overall story. So everything that we do revolves around how do we most effectively connect what's available from the farmers and the existing resources to get it directly to those people who are in need. Because, you know, hunger is not something you can put off. Hunger is an issue that is immediate and all-encompassing. And so when you have a family or you have a child who doesn't have enough food to eat, that takes precedent over everything. So people that are coming into the food banks live under tremendous pressure on a daily basis. And as you live in that kind of a situation for an extended period of time, that pressure just gets heavier and heavier, and it has more of a negative impact on people. And so it's really incumbent on us to make sure that we're getting as much food as we can to help to make sure that when those people do come into the food banks, that they have good, healthy, nutritious product that they can take for themselves and their families.
Well, your program also has implications for preventing food waste. Mm-hmm. Would you remind us of the degree to which food is wasted in the U.S.?
Yeah, it's just unbelievable how much food is wasted in the United States. I feel like every week or month, a new report's coming out highlighting food waste in the U.S. or globally. And I think the USDA current estimates around a third of all product that's grown in the United States is wasted. And it's not just strictly on the grower level, that's from the farm to the table and everything in between. Some produce is wasted at the farm, some at the packing house, some where it's transported again to the grocery store, and then at the grocery store, more food's wasted than at our home. Obviously, everyone has a refrigerator and, you know, things in the bottom or the sides that just doesn't get used. How many opportunities exist to reduce food waste in the United States? It's just kind of staggering.
Yeah, and on that note, one of the other reasons that we started Harvest Against Hunger as a program was to create better local connections between farmers and food banks. And so the other thing that we're doing with the program is we're cutting down on the amount of resources that are used just transporting product from one place to another. So the more that we can keep fresh product local between a couple of miles to the food bank, that really cuts down on fossil fuel usage. And so trying to increase the scale and the ability of local programs to be able to reach out and work with their growers, that's a really big part of what we're trying to do with Harvest Against Hunger.
How do you see Harvest Against Hunger fitting into other efforts to address food insecurity overall?
Yeah, it's really amazing. I feel like every community or just about every community has or has seen some iteration of gleaning. It's just one of the most grassroots and sort of local volunteer systems that get started. And usually it's just one person who has the idea, like maybe they have a friend who's a farmer and they see all the food that's wasted, and they'll take it upon themselves to go out into the field and get a team of volunteers together and start capturing that food. But because gleaning is grassroots, it can be really hard to partner with other gleaning organizations. I feel like we're just at the tip of the iceberg to bringing other gleaning or produce recovery groups, not just in the Northwest, but the West Coast and hopefully the United States together, and sharing best practices and saying, hey, like, this is what we're doing in Seattle or Moses Lake or Yakima, and it's working pretty well here. Maybe this might work in Sacramento or, I don't know, someplace in Iowa. And not to say those places don't have gleaning programs, because I'm sure they do, but they just maybe one or two volunteers that are kind of on the edge. But I think we can use technology to bring people together as well. We have an online resource guide at rfhresourceguide.org, and those are all the best practices that we've developed from our AmeriCorps Vista team. And there's just a tremendous amount of other ways that people can become involved in gleaning. Probably a good place to start locally is just going to your local food bank. They'll have a good idea of what produce recovery may be happening there.
What are your plans for the future?
Well, for right now, the Harvest Against Hunger, I feel like we're just entering our fifth year of the program and starting to gain more traction. And it's really exciting to see AmeriCorps Vista has just been such a wonderful partner with our program and seeing how it's starting to work in Los Angeles. And I think this model has a lot of potential. I know harvests that are being leveraged in other parts of the country for gleaning and produce recovery efforts, but to maybe try to roll that out more systematically in the Northwest and the West Coast and maybe beyond. I know that's something that David and I have kicked around and think there might be an opportunity either through Rotary First Harvest or another organization to take that project on.
Yeah, and then circling back to what I originally was talking about with Rotary First Harvest and the fact that we are Rotary. Rotary is a pretty vast international organization. One of the things that we have on our long-term plan is to engage Rotarians not only here within our community, but also more broadly across Washington State, West Coast, United States, internationally, in hunger relief activity in their community. And so when we decided to start the program down in the Los Angeles area, we reached out to Rotarians in the greater Los Angeles area to connect them with our program down at Food Forward and to find ways that they can support that project, the work and the activities of that project, because Rotarians are in communities all across the United States. And really what they can do, it's a service organization. So people join Rotary to help other organizations. And so they also have remarkable resources and connections within their own networks. And so we're continuing to look for ways to build those Rotary connections to support hunger relief activities, like what we're doing with our Harvest Against Hunger project, but even more broadly, any activities that are going on in communities around the United States.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
I think it's to go out and get active in a hunger relief organization. It doesn't have to be gleaning. That's one way to participate to fight hunger. Personally, I think it's a really fun way to be involved if you're out growing extra food or in an orchard or at a farm, recovering the crop or local soup kitchen, meal program, food bank. Just roll up your sleeves and get going.
That's great. And I think knowing this audience, it's getting a little informed about what needs to happen in your community, what the needs are. Connect with your local food bank, connect with your local food pantry, find out what they need, and then figure out a way that you can help them to accomplish their goals. Benjamin's right. Gleaning is a lot of fun. It's a great activity. Gardening, planting an extra row, that's all terrific fun, but actually the hands-on work, you get to meet some really interesting people when you're doing that work. And if you ever have an opportunity to volunteer at a food bank or a meal program, and to actually participate in helping somebody that needs food, that can be transformative as an experience. I think that oftentimes we look at issues like hunger and we don't have a real strong direct connection. And I would urge anybody that's interested in this sort of work to volunteer for a day or two. It will absolutely change you. It's remarkable work and it's why we've been in it for years.
Well, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You were just listening to David Bobanek, Executive Director, and Benjamin Rasmus, Harvest Against Hunger Program Director for Rotary First Harvest. For more information, check on the web at firstharvest.org. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the sustainability segment again next week on listener-powered 90.3 FM and KEXP.org.